she moved to Dallas to reestablish the home here. We got along again, pretty good. We managed to raise our family. We did well enough financially, so we're secure in our old age. And we
that security was rather late in coming.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it has.
Because let me tell you, I worked with Daddy for 25 years in the business. And that helped. Otherwise, we couldn't
it didn't
and
come.
He worked.
And it didn't come easy to us.
Wasn't easy.
Nothing came
it was
easy.
Hard. I had a big house to take care of. I had three children to take care of. I had no help. I did it somehow. Your kids weren't starving. We got your meals. And we got along very well. We got along very, we were very happy together.
You made a lot of money early in that certain moment. Wasn't it a big booming business at first?
It was. It was a living, a nice living. And I
at first we had more work than we could manage. But then
in the drapers, when we started doing the drapes,
when curtain cleaning went out, drapery cleaning came in, and the work was easier.
It wasn't as hard. But we liked it because we were our own boss. I liked it because we met a lot of people, and I really loved it because I liked to.
We enjoyed the business.
Houses. They were very nice to us. We were nice to them. We met a lot of people. To this day, I have friends from the business.
But I decided that if we weren't clearing enough money out of the business, that we had to have another source of income. And I went back to my line of work that I knew, and I got a job with the government as supervisor of inspection.
At Murray, right?
At Murray Gin, located at Murray Gin, but I worked for the government.
Now, when was that?
In 45.
Yeah. Yeah. When did you move to Dallas?
47, I think.
We were already in the business, huh? And we went to work.
You got the business, I think, in 46.
Yeah.
I think for the first 5 years, we just stayed with the business.
Yeah. You did.
I remember going around 51 or 52.
How long did you stay in Murray?
51.
In the Korean War.
51.
There was a big demand for that.
51. And after Murray, the government work was terminated all at once. They shipped the manufacturing of munitions to Taiwan. Then I got a job in 56 at Chatsworth.
You stayed there for 10 mm-hmm. years. No, you were there more than 10
I
years.
I was there till 68.
Yeah, you were there 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he made very good there. You loved your job there.
Yes,
he was very interesting, and he really...
I'd have been there yet if I were a younger man.
I don't know. You could have still beat the ones they hired in your place. That's all.
Do you remember meeting the spouses, that your brothers and sisters were married, and you remember meeting Oscar, you remember meeting Joe.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Did you go to their wedding?
No. Oscar was married in our house.
I went to my...
Oscar was married in my mother's house. Yeah. We were married already. They got married a year later, when we were still living with my folks. So they were in Pontiac. They couldn't get a rabbi there. So they had the wedding in our house. Oscar then was married in our house. And Marianne used to come and stay weekends at our house because she used to date a fellow, as you said. A real nice...
She came in from Pontiac.
Yes. She'd stay over the house for the weekend. Pick her up at the house. And Mary was a beautiful girl, was she? And she had a lot of dates. One of them, born to Mary, was very wealthy. He was in the plumbing business.
Was she the prettiest of the ones you know?
She was the prettiest when she was young. She was a very pretty. She has changed more than I have, you know, in age. She has really changed. I think. I know that's what they say. Yeah, it's really amazing. She's gotten so.
What was your impression when you first met Dad's family?
Well, there's a little story behind Dad's family.
Huh?
There's a little story connected.
When you met who?
Your family.
Oh.
You see, Daddy never lived home. He was away from the house when he was 10 years old. And his father, should rest in peace, was the type that never made a home. He was traveling. And all these little towns where it really wasn't for young kids. There was nothing for them. And I got my ring May 1st. Right? May 1st. I got my ring. I wore it I never showed it to anybody. It was in my neck on a chain. The reason was, I kept saying, well, how can I get engaged and not know your family? I wished I'd have never done it. But see, that's the way we're brought up. Brother got engaged, they came to Detroit, and had a party, it was a different opposite. And I kept saying, why don't you take me to Pontiac to meet him? And then he had all kinds of excuses. Mm-hmm. But finally, they moved down Thorpe Street, right? That was mm-hmm. a nice house. He didn't want to take me to the other house. They lived near a railroad, they had no... And he just was kind of... You know, I guess he knew that we had lived differently. My dad wasn't a rich man, but we always had a fine home. We really did. Always had a nice, fine home with everything. And finally I met him. Well, they were very nice. Was one thing he can say, right? I was always nice to your mother and father. Wasn't it? Oh, yeah. They were nice to me.
Nice to all of
them. Yes. I met them and I liked them. I think they liked
all
me
my family.
Too. They liked my parents. We invited them over. They met everybody. And that was it.
So you think that, is that true what she says? She's implying that you were ashamed to take your fiance to meet your parents.
On Bagley Street.
That was the house they did.
I finally did take you there.
Yeah, then I said...
On Bagley Street.
That was there. They had that junkyard. I said, well, I'm so sorry, honey. I am so sorry I caused you all that trouble. Because I realized that it wasn't the reason that he was ashamed of me. It just that he... didn't want to take me there.
Is that right? Were you ashamed?
Well, I hesitated to take her to Bagley Street today. it was junky all around, you know, loaded with trash around the house.
They had that junk.
And the house itself was dilapidated looking.
You don't have to put that in here. Cut it out, I mean. Don't have to.
What to be ashamed of?
But they were very nice, honest people, that's all. It was a depression with them, too. It was hard. They try to make a living, too.
We want to talk about what really happened. We don't want to make it pretty.
Well, that's the truth. They were nice people. They tried their best to take care of their kids. But it was tough, and he wanted his son to get an education. He couldn't get it in Pontiac. He had to put him in Detroit where he could get a Hebrew education and an English education. But I'll tell you, it hurts me to think that he never had a childhood. It's sad, but sometimes he tells me things that when he lived here in New York, he didn't have any money that he could even buy a sandwich or a drink or even for car fare. He had a walk. And that makes me feel terrible because my kids never had to do it. You know, your daddy isn't much of a talker. He don't like to say too much. But once in a while, he opens up. And it really makes me feel sad. But all in all, I think he's had a very happy married life in all phases. Good times, bad times, we were always happy. We always had plenty to eat. We always had good friends. And we had nice families. We had nice children. Thank God for that.
We always had money in the bank.
Yeah, and always had a little for a rainy day because I wasn't the type that would hire somebody to do my work. I just did it myself, so I wouldn't put out that money. Because I figured, well, I might need it for clothes for the children. I might need it for food. I never went to borrow to my folks for money. Even though my husband sometimes wasn't working, he used our little extra that we had. He never went to borrow, never went to debt, right?
Huh?
Never. Well, my friends did. They used to go to the loan office, they used to borrow. Never did it. We never owned a penny to anybody. To this day, we don't. We got along on what we had. And that was it. We were never in want.
Well, you really didn't have that much contact with your family. You know, if you stop and think about it.
My early life?
Well, I mean, most of your life. Yeah. You know, the first half of your life, very few years was spent at home.
That's right.
I mean, your father left when you were 6, and you really didn't see him again because when you came to America, you went to the yeshiva, went to New York. You were there for, you know, a few years when you were going to high school, and then you were gone.
Going back to these little small towns, Pontiac, and Battle Creek. He always lived
there. It really wasn't until you came back, when you came to Dallas and joined your family after the war, that you really connected up.
During my formative years, no.
You really didn't connect up with them.
No.
Were you the only one? What about Rosie? Did she stay with the family for most of it?
They all stayed with.
Well, she got married, and she stayed in Detroit.
And what about Pete?
He stayed with me.
Well, he remained in Pontiac, his brother on the show. He got married and was living there. He died soon after we were married. he was only about, what, 28 when he died?
Mm-hmm.
30?
About 30.
30 years. He was to our wedding.
That's 21.
Yeah, he was to our wedding, and soon after he got sick and
died out of cancer.
He had a testicular cancer.
He was handsome.
It spread to his kidneys.
He was good looking, tall, handsome. Really was.
Yeah.
Died soon after. He was at our wedding. Soon after he got sick.
He was built like Donald.
Donald Salander. He was a boy. Well, you were gone too when you were here. Now you're finding her. It's, you really, if you want to know something, you can really write a book. Because all the things that have happened, you know.
Well, these things have happened to everybody. In different ways.
Well, as a rule, they don't let a 10-year-old go to,
well,
to live amongst strangers.
That was the common thing
strangers.
In Europe, honey.
Well, you were in America. What are you talking about?
My father was mental, his mentality was European.
Where do you leave a child 10 years old like Lainey to live among strangers? That's right.
That's where he was.
And he lived, that's right. 10 years old he was living in Detroit among strangers. Slept on the couch. There was never enough room for him next to him, so they had a couch. Slept on the couch. And 13 years in a big city in Detroit, in New York. Golly. That's really important. I'm just wondering if the kids nowadays, at that age, would be able to make it. I bet they would. You know? Lainey, if you left Lainey alone among strangers, you think he'd be able to make it? Huh?
It's a different world.
It's a different world.
Different world.
That's
raised
right.
Raised differently.
Raised differently. Well, I'll tell you, the truth is that your family is unusual. You don't hear of other families that have done with anything, going from country to country. I don't know of another family in Detroit that ever did anything like it. I don't know of another family. It was your family.
You mean from town to town?
Yeah, Kalamazoo.
No, not in Kalamazoo.
Battle Creek. He was in Kalamazoo too. Your father was in Kalamazoo.
Oh, he went to Kalamazoo almost every couple of weeks to get supplies.
And even when they lived in Pontiac.
Because Battle Creek is about 25 miles from Kalamazoo. And Kalamazoo had a kosher butcher.
Mm-hmm. That's where he'd get his meat from.
And he'd kill some chickens.
Go there with chickens.
It isn't that his dad did not have an easy life. I'm kidding, son. He had a tough life. His mother had a tough life. Wasn't easy raising Kenora a lot of children and traveling from city to city. It wasn't easy. I can assure you that.
You know, they moved on horse and wagon.
I know it.
And traveled on horse and wagon.
Even when your father used to come to Detroit, did he come with a car? Or he already came with a car?
Streetcar.
And a
streetcar.
Angie
urban car.
Angie would tell us sometime. We'd laugh. She, on Thursday, was her job to take the interim car and go to Detroit, get chickens, get delicatessen, get bread, get bagel, all that. And the chickens had to be alive. They kill them in Pontiac. They had a shepherd there with them. And so, oh, Mildred, I thought, there's a term. The chicken used to make that noise. Oh, she says, used to do, that was my job on Thursday. Oh, yeah. The kids didn't have it good either. You know, that's the way they were brought up. Of course, then Nathan already had it good. They were, you were living in Pontiac. And Angie, but they still had to shop in Detroit.
There's quite a streak of the gypsy in
them. That's right. In his father, yes. I don't know how your mother took it, I'll tell you. The
had,
kids she had.
The roving lady.
He did. He couldn't stay in one place. Pick up his family, there he'd go again somewhere else. It wasn't easy for a religious man, you know, to get stuff and all that. That's the life they have.
Okay, we'll end it in a minute or two. I want to ask each of you one question.
Yeah.
Aside from the fact that you got married, putting that aside, what do you think was the happiest moment of your life?
Well, let me tell you something. I consider myself all through my life was happy. I was a very easy, satisfied person. I didn't demand a whole lot. I made do whatever I had. That daddy can say, right? I never demanded the impossible from him, did I? Whatever he made, I made do. I wasn't the type that envied anybody. If I went in a beautiful home, I loved it. I wished him luck. I came to my house, I was just as happy. I was just happy that we got along and we were healthy.
But wasn't there one happy moment that you feel so bad?
No, that's the truth.
What about you? Do you have one happy moment?
Well, my happiest times were when my two sons graduated college.
Well, that's beside the point.
To me, that was a great achievement.
You mean when Don became a dentist?
Mm-hmm.
And when I finished medical school?
We both felt that we accomplished something of all that we had.
You got a lot of satisfaction.
Oh, yeah, a lot of help.
Because there are families that might have gone through the same thing we have, but they haven't accomplished anything. And we feel that we're thankful that our children are, I'm not ashamed of my children, and I hope they're not ashamed of the parents, which I think they're not. And that's, I'm very thankful for. And another thing I'm very thankful for is that my three sons are very close together. Even though they don't live near one another, they still are very close together. And that makes me very happy. Because there's no jealousy. Because I know when Donnie started the college, he got disgusted a few times and he was ready to quit. He was very disgusted, right? Discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
But Jerry would come and say, Mother, please, do everything in your power. Make him go. Make him go. And he talked to me. So you see, there's no jealousy among you. Yeah, one might have a little more than the other, but it's just good wishes. Right?
That was great.
Yes.
Great happy days. I was happy many a time at my wedding and at every wedding of my children. But the crowning event in my life is when the student became a doctor. That's been my happy time, my happiest age. It still gives me great satisfaction.
Nice ending.
Okay.
You like the ending?
Yes, it was very interesting. I learned an awful lot.
That you didn't know.
That I didn't know.
That's true. That's very true.
Very
it's a long battle.
I knew you for the last, 30 years, but I didn't really have a good idea of what your history was before that, except for dribs and drabs and a little story here and there, which I have heard from you. Okay, let's go to bed.